Today, we're going to look at Shakespeare's play, Henry V, with a particular focus on how it compared to the real life of King Henry. And we'll also look at why a play about Henry V would have been significant at this time. But first, let's get some historical background. Henry V lived between 1387 and 1422, so he lived to almost the age of 35. From a boy, he was very warlike, conquering with his father in Scotland and Wales at the age of 13, and almost from the moment he was crowned King of England. Henry conquered the French and would soon marry a French princess. Henry left behind quite a legacy, and even French writers concede that though Henry had been their enemy, he was indeed a very great man. His greatness, perhaps forgotten now by many, would probably have been remembered better by the Elizabethan audiences of the early 1600s. The Elizabethan period was a time of violent political and religious upheaval. Consequently, there was little sense of continuity. As you can imagine, this sense of continuity or a link to the glorious past is important to any flailing government, as indeed it was to Elizabeth. Thus, Elizabeth tried to fill her reign with portraits, pageantry, and shows of medieval chivalry to create a sort of symbol around which the English could unite. Okay, a little off topic. Now we know Henry V's background, let's look at how Shakespeare approached his play. Shakespeare actually relied pretty heavily on historical sources. The accuracy of such sources is another question which we won't go into. What we're interested in here is that Shakespeare wanted to be seen as getting his facts right. So, Shakespeare conformed closely to historical texts. In particular, Chronicle, a work by Holinshed, the second edition of which was published in 1586. We can assume this because there are so many similarities between the two. Some of these are what we call episodic. That is, the stories match up. For example, Holinshed described an incident in which three men conspired to kill Henry, but were all apprehended. This incident is present in Act 2, Scene 2 of Shakespeare's play. The play also includes a number of details from the Chronicle, including the number of soldiers killed and prisoners taken at the Battle of Agincourt. At one point, Shakespeare practically uses the same words. Here is an example. At one part in the play, Henry says to Mountjoy about the French that he shall tawny ground with red blood discolor. Compare this to what we see in the Chronicle, where Holinshed writes that Henry intends to dye the tawny ground with red blood. The Chronicle appears to be Shakespeare's main source, but not the only one. Another likely source is Hale's The Union of Two Families of Lancaster and York, where Shakespeare would have found details of certain parliamentary bills dating back to the time of Henry IV. And although not extremely significant within the play, the accurate reference to these bills shows Shakespeare's attention to detail. But a play can't be written on historical sources alone. Shakespeare had to add a sense of drama to make the play interesting, and who better than Shakespeare to do that? One of the main elements he used was character building, and not just of Henry himself, but also the minor characters like Scroope, Cambridge, and Grey, who were each depicted with their own personalities and goals within a scene in the play. But Henry, of course, is the main character of interest, and we see several interesting sides to his personality as the play progresses. One is a depiction of Henry V as a great man. Shakespeare portrays this by giving Henry rousing speeches that would have stirred up the audience in the same way as Henry V would have boosted morale among his armies. Here's an example. When the blast of war blows in our ears, stiffen the sinews, conjure up the blood, disguise fair nature with hard-favored rage. Henry's words epitomize honor and glory. You can imagine that, said by a good actor, they would actually sound really powerful. But we also see other sides of Henry too, particularly his inner conflicts, his indecision with regards to whether to appear merciful or merciless. He shows no mercy to his betrayers nor to his French prisoners. However, at the Siege of Harfleur, Henry shows mercy to those who surrendered. We also see the weight of kingship weighing heavily on Henry's shoulders. Of course, this is a dramatic device, as we have no evidence to suggest that Henry felt any such thing, but it makes for good theater.